So this summer, we're going to be in a sermon series entitled, How to Be Happy, what? According to Jesus. Now, if you ask someone, what does it take to be happy? You can ask 10 people and you'll get 12 answers. Amen? Amen? Listen, you say it to Brother Earl and you're going to say it to me. You know, it's interesting that we live in a nation where the pursuit of happiness is a God-given birthright. Our Declaration of Independence says this, that all men are created equal in the pursuit of life, liberty, and happiness. Let me just say this. America, man, we're a little cray-cray right now. But can I say this? There's no better place to be in the world today. You should clap your hands and thank God that you live in America, because what? You get the chance to pursue happiness. So that being said, the pursuit of happiness sometimes is like going to the amusement park. How many of you guys still like amusement parks? Okay. How many of you still ride those rides? Okay. I do not. I remember very distinctly when I realized, oh, that gift is gone. So life sometimes is like an amusement park. And you say, Jimmy, how can that be? Well, I'm about to tell you. One is either we stand outside in real life and we look at the amusement park and we want to go there as a distraction for the entertainment. We want to go there and we want to be made to feel like we're in great danger, but we're not in great danger. We want to ride rides that make us feel like we're going to throw up, but we don't. We want to walk around and be transported into another place and another time. We want to give large sums of money for a Dollar Tree stuffed animal. We want to eat. I'll tell you, the last time I went to a carnival-type atmosphere, they sell the dipped ice cream, the square ones, the vanilla, where they dip it in the chocolate and then they roll it in the peanuts. That's heaven on earth right there, I'm telling you. And huh? Yeah, those are even harder to find. But I love that ice cream, and I get it once a year. And I was 3/4 of the way through my once a year this ice cream, and that last piece fell on the ground. Yeah, the people accompanying me go, oh, and you know what I did? Courage. And I told them, if something goes horribly wrong, tell them I was standing outside the swine exhibit when I ate that off the ground. But sometimes the amusement park is where we think we can go to be happy. Now, we could be distracted. And sometimes we might even want to stay there because if it's done right, it could be a magical experience. The lights, the sounds, the energy. And we look back out into everyday life and we don't want to go there. But the truth is life is lived out. Excuse me. Jared, you almost got my position. Outside the amusement park. And we're going to look over these next few weeks about how can we find happiness outside the amusement park. I love this. A.W. Pink says this, happy the soul that has been awed by a view of God's majesty. Happy is the soul that has been awed by a view of God's majesty. Our focus text today is in Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, and we'll read that together. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. And he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Now, this word blessed can also be translated as happy. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Happy are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Happy are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Happy are the peacemakers. Let me say that one more time. Happy are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And happy are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. One more time, just for emphasis, because of me, Jesus is saying. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The pursuit of happiness. Have you ever thought about that? The pursuit of happy? If it makes you happy, huh? Anybody? Huh? I want you to know, last Sunday I was that close. Uh-huh. I almost stayed and sang. I almost told Jared, hey, take Brother Earl outside. I got this. And I almost wanted to sing this anyway. But the pursuit of happiness is a part of God's purpose for you and I. A part. It's not the sum total. It's not the whole enchilada. Have you ever known someone, or perhaps maybe you, have you found yourself that the entire purpose of your life was to find happiness? Well, my friends, the Bible teaches us, I'm sorry, you don't want to know this, but my back is sweating and the cable keeps sticking on it and it won't budge. It's doing that. That's TMI, but I just want to be transparent. Is a part of God's, now it's too long. I'm telling you what, ADD is not as fun as we make it out to be. But it's only a part. Is happiness a part of our life? Yeah. But it's not the sum total. It's not the sum total. And we're going to look at the pursuit of happiness this morning. C.S. Lewis, that great author, once was asked by a child, what is God like? Now that is a bear trap, isn't it, Ronnie? What is God like? Well, most of the world sees God as a cosmic whack-a-mole player. God is out there, and his statement is this, please, please just give me a reason. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever known someone who felt that way? All God's looking for a reason is to smote you. King James, Old Testament. Let me just say this. Unfortunately, there are believers in Jesus Christ that have this same sense. My friends, that could not be more further from the truth. God is not some cosmic whack-a-mole player just waiting to crack you between the eyes. And then there's another group, especially inside the capital C church, who asks this, can we have fun? Is that okay? Can we laugh at church? Now, can I just say this? There are members of our family, the family of faith, that if they were to come here, would not be down with this. And to which I'd go, okay, it's all right. You know, it doesn't hurt my feelings. You know, like my old professor said, everyone has the right to be wrong, but no. But if we're not careful, we as Christians sometimes can find ourselves wrestling with this. Is it okay for a Christian to be happy? And the answer is absolutely yes. You say, well, but I'm a sinner, aren't we all? You say, well, you know, and you listen. A part of our purpose is to pursue and to know happiness. And the Bible says laughter is a good medicine. So either it is or it isn't, right? I like laughter. I like a cheap laugh, huh? I heard that. It's better than crying, unless you laugh until you cry and then you get double dip like ice cream. John 10:10 tells us this, the thief comes, our adversary, the devil, only, say it with me, only. This is his exclusive purpose, only, to steal, kill, and destroy that which he may, depending on the translation that you're reading, that which he may. I came, Jesus, so that they would have life and have it abundantly. Say that with me, abundantly. Now that's a difference, that's a contrast. One comes to steal and one comes to give life abundantly. So now we have to discern, which one do we want? If you chase the devil, my friend, sin can be entertaining for a season, but there's a payday someday, and it is steep. It's kind of like the gas prices today. But when we follow Jesus, not every day is sunshine, but he promises us we can have an abundant life. Let's look at the pursuit of happiness. Jesus was a happy person. Listen, if you think all Jesus did was sit around, wring his hands, and cry and judge people, friends, that's just simply an unfair representation. Think about it. When you read about Jesus, he went to weddings. Weddings are a fun time when they're about over. Amen? Come on now. Come on. Leading right up to it, come on. You'd rather fist fight. Come on. You know what I'm saying. A good wedding happens about 30 minutes before you call it off. You know, that's truth right there. Don't judge me. He enjoyed celebrations. He enjoyed fellowship. He enjoyed with being people. In my free time on one of the open channels, I often wonder what it was like to sit around the campfire with Jesus. They weren't doing Bible studies all the time. And can you imagine trying to tell a joke and Jesus always knows the punchline? Jesus enjoyed his life. Why? He was all man and all God. He enjoyed his life. He enjoyed. He was a happy person. He taught in very fun and creative. How do I know Jesus was a happy guy? I love the way he teaches. Have you ever noticed? Jesus teaches in some of the most incredibly fun ways. One of the ones I love is when he teaches about the speck and the plank. If you're not familiar with that, it's about judgment. And Jesus teaches and he says, you know, how can you judge someone else when you yourself, you know, he says, you judge someone else's speck in their eye, this little sin in their life, while you have a plank in your eye. Now think about that. Can you imagine a railroad tie stuck in your eye? Think about it. How about a 2x4? I mean, that's funny right there. And it's very, anyway, okay, maybe you don't enjoy it as much as me. Maybe you're not, you know, sanctified as much as me. I don't know. He gave us a roadmap to what true happiness. How do we know it's true? Because the things of God doesn't change. The world constantly changes the target. What makes people happy today is not the same that used to make people happy. When you go out and you use your electric lawnmower, I'm not judging. Can you imagine your great-grandfather who had those three blades going da-da-da-da-da-da-da like that, you know? And then he, you know, gets some kid like me and he puts his finger in it. That didn't go very well, but it didn't go horribly wrong. Happiness, as the world defines it, is an ever-moving target. But happiness, as God defines it, is a permanent, fixed object. And it's easier to find. The pursuit of happiness is a journey. Amen? Life's a journey. Amen? And let me just say this. The rewards, the good stuff in life, isn't at the end. This won't cost you anything extra. Listen to me. Don't you spend your life putting all of your eggs in the retirement basket, because you may not get there. For the love of Pete, would you enjoy your life on the journey? Would you please? A dear friend of mine retired and 4 days later found out he had terminal cancer. 4 days later, he got to enjoy his retirement. Enjoy your life while you're living it. It's a journey, and the joy is the journey. Free, doesn't cost you extra. A quick scan in Matthew 5 gives us the signposts we should look for in our life's journey. Let's look real quick. Let's look at what's not there. We read, blessed are, you remember those? Happy are. I know there's some things missing out of there. How about this? Happy are those who have perfect health. As a man whose health, you know, I'm a year, almost a year away. You know the thing about having my hip replaced, you know what it really did? It ruined me for swimsuit season. I can't wear my Speedo anymore because of my scar. I'm disappointed. I'm just disappointed. But it didn't say happy are those who work. Listen, work is good, and that's a whole different sermon. Or income is not a measure of happiness. Financial security, and Lord knows we're all thinking about that today, aren't we? One word, inflation. Homes, love, or even friends. There's a lot of things in life that are important. However, they do not produce happiness. They are things that we can accumulate on the way, on the journey, okay? Because those things move, right? You remember back when you could buy a house for $30,000, anybody? Do you know what you can buy for $30,000 today? 2 tanks of gas. right? So that target's obviously moved. I was watching last night on TV something, I don't remember, but they advertised a car. And it was so funny. He goes, only $87,000. And I'm like, and it's like a Jeep Cherokee or something. Like, and he said it like everyone walks around with $87,000 in their pocket. Only $87,000. What a deal. I said, Sharon, let's go get two. Christ's list completely reverses the standard sought by the world. My friends, if you don't know this, to pursue Christ means that we oftentimes walk opposite of what the world says. We don't have to be confrontational about it. We don't have to be jerks about it. But I'm just telling you this, that Jesus' way and the world's way very rarely intersect. But it's okay. It's okay. Most of his followers wanted dominion and prosperity when Jesus was teaching about poverty and sorrow. They said, oh, you're going to be king of the Jews. He's going to be king. And guess what? When he becomes king, I'm going to get in that. I'm going to be a high appointed official. I'm going to get some of that trickle down economics from the king. I'm going to be somebody because I know somebody. And we're going to kick the Romans out. It's going to be the best. But when Jesus starts talking about, hey, if you want to be a part of me, you're going to have to drink my blood and eat my body. What? People start freaking out. You see, everyone wants the easy way, right? Pursuit of happiness is also not a goal, but it's a byproduct. The world is always looking to invent new ways to be happy. Look what we have here, free stuff. Now, I often wonder, you know, if someday, like our collegiates, our graduates, if they, you know, were to move away and go to a different church, which they would, right? You guys would, right? Hey, JC, I'm talking to you. Yes? Just go, yeah. Okay, thanks. And they go to church, and they go through the first sermon, and they don't get any free stuff. Do they walk out, and they go, where's my free stuff? I think maybe, I don't know. Anywho, so the Today Show put out a list of the things that make people happy. And I thought it was very good, and I wanted to give you just a quick sampling of it. Sleeping in a freshly made bed. There's nothing, I mean, freshly cleaned linens, that's pretty good. Feeling the sun on your face, that's, you know. No, Johnny? Okay. People saying thank you or a random act of kindness from a stranger. That'll make you feel good. Finding money in unexpected places. Yeah. That's not a bad place. Having time to yourself. You know, some people really treasure that. Laughing so hard it hurts. Snuggling on the sofa with a loved one. You know, that's pretty good. Freshly made bread. Anybody? Okay. Doing something for others, the clean feeling after a shower, when your favorite song comes on the radio. Now, this might get you a speeding ticket. Now, let me ask you this. Anybody, when that good sweet song comes on, anybody? Does anybody else speed while they do that? I'm not asking for a confession. I'm just... Now, I want to know, is there anyone in here that when you're going down the street and you're looking for an address to see better, you turn the radio down? Okay, all right, I'm amongst friends, okay. When you listen to rainfall or a thunderstorm, freshly brewed coffee, can I tell you, man, You walk into a coffee shop, and especially a grand, heaven feels that way. The thrill of a personal achievement, I've got like, 1 minute. Anybody else have one that's not on this list that just makes you happy? Anybody? What's that? Holding a baby? Perfectly cooked steak, which is easy for you. That, there's a story behind that. Anybody else? Fireplace? Okay. Anybody here like really feel squared away when you get to your tires rotated and your oil changed in your car? Is that just me? I'm going to tell you that makes me happy. Frank Lubeck is quoted to say this, "I think I must be the happiest man in the world." That's a bold statement. I have never met anyone who has had as much fun as I have had. If you can die with that on your lips, you win. Right? Wow. Wouldn't that be awesome? Hey, you have any last statements? Can I tell you this? I'm the happiest man in the world. Be great. Well, who is this guy? How did he make this bold statement? I'm glad you asked that. Frank wasn't a playboy or a globetrotter or an adventurer. He was a Christian missionary whose life was dedicated to the cultivation of literacy. Frank didn't go searching for happiness. He just found it as a byproduct of his searching for something more important. Dr. Lubach says this. He would describe the joy and how people would weep when they would discover how to read. Now you and I go, but you all can read. We live in a time and a place and in a culture where for you to reach this stage of your life and not be able to read is unusual. You see, oftentimes we take for granted things like reading. And this man said he found great joy when, because of his interaction, a man or a woman or their child, for the first time in their lives, could read. That's a game changer. He says this, no other work in the world could possibly have brought me more happiness. Now think about this. This guy's out in Timbuktu nowhere teaching people how to read. Now, in the world's economy, that is not winning. In the U.S. scale of happiness, that's not it. Is it? No. The answer is no. Don't be afraid. In his process, in 1984, the U.S. Postage Service commemorated him on a stamp as a great American. He didn't go to teach people how to read thinking, hey, one of these days, I'm going to be on a stamp. And it tells you how long ago, because the stamp was only 30 cents. What are they, like $30 today? If anyone uses stamps. I said it, Ronnie. I said it. Can I say this? Do you think he was honored? Sure. I mean, gee, that's cool right there. You know, it's like me hoping one day there's a statue. He didn't go to teach people how to read thinking one day I'll get a stamp. But in the process of his pursuit, what? Really good things came into his life. He said, I didn't live with prosperity or worldly success, but I found happiness. True joy is a byproduct and not a goal. If happiness seems hard to find, it could be, you might be pursuing the wrong thing. Just saying, don't judge me, just saying. I just know that as a younger man, before I knew Jesus, I ran as hard and as fast at everything that was supposed to make me happy. But I was as far away from that as I knew how to be. And I had, at a very early age of my life, I had a decent portion of what should have made me happy. But I wasn't. And it was only when I began to contrast and think. The pursuit of happiness will lead you ultimately to Jesus Christ. Let's look very quickly. Jesus was an extremely happy man. I believe he was and is. He had an inner joy. Why? Well, for one, he's God. That's pretty good. He could help and heal people. Can I ask you how great your life would be if you could heal people? Come on now, I'm going to rent Texas Stadium and I'm going to charge people $50 a ticket to come in and get healed. Oh, that's right, Jerry's World. Bunch of legalists. That's what I'm going to do. Huh? Can I tell you this? If God were so kind to give me the gift of healing, I'm walking down to that hospital first, and I'm starting in the cancer center, and I'm going to work my way up. And then from there, I'm going to go to every nursing home in this town, and people are going to get some healed. And would that make me happy? Oh, like you wouldn't believe. Jesus had the power to teach and to heal people. He could make a difference. He did make a difference. He is making a difference. And as long as he tarries, he will continue to make a difference. And his ministry, his influence grew in scope and in influence and in number. Listen, people started hearing about Jesus, and they wanted to be around Jesus, and they wanted to know about Jesus, and his crowd started growing exponentially. He's getting big contracts on his podcast. He's got followers upon followers on his digital media platforms. This guy is the it of the Holy Land. But in time, the ministry of Jesus began to shrink. Why? Disinterest. Hey, Jesus is coming to town. Been there, done that. Jesus is coming to town. Well, if it fits in. Disappointment. You remember I talked about eat my flesh, drink my blood thing? That's disappointing. Disagreement. Well, I don't like what Jesus is teaching. So I have a choice, and I think I'm just going to extricate myself from it. All of these and more were contributing factors to this once pinnacle beginning to shrink down. The crowd at the time of the upper room, at the time when Jesus washed feet and instituted the Lord's Supper, the crowd fit in a room. Can you imagine going from Jerry's world to one room? Now, by the world standard, that is not success. And then when they left the upper room and they went to the garden, guess what? The crowd in the upper room, well, the one in the garden was even more small. By at least one. And then if you recall, Jesus only took three a little further in with him, and then he stepped off to himself. And then when Jesus found himself on the cross, the crowd was even more small. Did Jesus know all these things would transpire? Yes, he did. He certainly did. So surely Jesus would teach, hey, listen, they're going to love you when you're on top, but they're not going to love you on bottom. I mean, can you imagine the pessimism? Have you ever seen someone who used to be famous and they're not so famous now? And they kind of get a little bitter about it. Jesus taught us, recorded in John 15, I have told you this so that my joy, wait a minute, what joy? Jesus loved the Lord. He loved people. He loved doing what God had sent him here to do. My joy, whose joy? Jesus's joy. Maybe in you. And that whose joy, your joy, may be complete. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Let's read that again. That my joy, Jesus' joy, may be in me so that my joy might be complete. Do you know the reason that as a 21-year-old, I had everything the world says should make you joyful, but I wasn't? Because it was the wrong joy. I'm going to tell you what, when Jesus' joy started becoming my joy, just like our friend earlier, I'm the richest man in the world. Hear me say this, if I go to glory tonight, I've had it all. My bank account won't reflect that. My land ownership won't reflect that. Oh, but hear me. My heart testifies to that. Jesus went on and said, "For I have come down from heaven, what, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me." My friends, happiness comes from knowing him and pursuing him. And we're going to talk about that this summer. And we're going to hone in on that. We're going to kind of put that in a functioning package. Because, brothers and sisters, it's a crazy world out there. And it might get more crazy. And my question to you and to me is this, is where are you looking for your happiness? Where are you looking? And then the question beyond that is this, how's it going for you? So many in our world look for happiness and purpose in 1,000 good places while they neglect the best place. And unfortunately, that is not the exclusive rights of those who do not know Christ. Unfortunately, many of our faith family inside the capital C church can find themselves in that same pursuit. And over these next several weeks, I want to challenge all of us, beginning with who? Me. Why? I'm on my journey. I've not arrived. I'm just like you. I'm doing my deal. I'm living my faith. I'm pursuing my happiness. And the question is where are we looking for it consistently? And how's that working out for us? If we're looking in the world for it and it's not working out for us, maybe we need to meet Jesus. Or maybe we need to refocus on Jesus. Maybe we know Jesus and it's still not... You know what? It could be that we need to focus, right? We might need, there's some things over here that may be weighing us down. We need to set aside. There's some things over here that might build us up. Maybe we need to do more of that. God wants you to be happy. And it doesn't mean that every day is roses. But I can say this. Based on my personal experience and the testimony of many people sitting in this room, even on the worst day with Jesus, there can be happiness and joy. And the world can't give us that. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we thank you for this day. And Father, we thank you that there's something that we need and want, Lord, that the world simply can't give us. Lord, there's a lot of really good things in the world. Lord, and I thank you for them. Oh, Lord, I just thank you for the simple joys of life. But Father, I thank you that there could be a peace. There could be a joy. There could be a happiness. Lord, that goes beyond explanation and understanding. Lord, that we can have these things in our world even when the day turns to night. And Father, we confess to you that we live in a world that seems just out of its mind. And Lord, we have so many questions and concerns. But Father, in the midst of those, we have a promise that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Father, we have a promise that you will complete the good work that you have begun in us and through us. Father, we have a promise that where you are, we too shall be. Father, we have a promise that you're coming back for us. And Father, today we lean into the promise of a peace that passes all understanding. Lord, we need that today more than ever. And Father, it is my prayer over these very warm summer weeks that as we dig into your word and we see your roadmap to happiness, Lord, that we'll evaluate our navigation. And Lord, it could be that we need to get on your heavenly highway. Father, it could be that we need to update our navigation system Father, it is my prayer that this summer we'll know you better, and Lord, that our joy and happiness will be grown because of you and our pursuit of you. Father, I pray that you would bless us, Lord, and that we would see that blessing. Lord, we'd be overcome by that blessing. And Lord, not that we would just hold it to ourselves and how blessed we are, but Lord, that we might pour that blessing into the lives of others. Lord, because our world is thirsty for living water. That's you. And Lord, we thank you that we get to be the vessel that if we choose to be, Lord, you can pour blessings out of. Lord, we love you and we thank you for the promise of your word. We thank you for the power and the provision of your son, Jesus. And we thank you for one day heaven. But until then, Lord, until then, may we be found faithful till we come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.